Tomorrow's World Magazine, September-October 2024. This is London. The Aberfan Disaster, A Tragic Day and a Hopeful Future, by Simon R. D. Roberts. Read by Dylan King. On the morning of 21 October 1966, the Welsh mining town of Aberfan awoke to a thick autumnal mist after weeks of heavy rain. Children made their way to Pantglass Junior School, which was overshadowed by vast piles of coal waste called tips from the local Merthyr Vale colliery. At 9:15 a.m., as classes began, more than 110,000 cubic meters, or 140,000 cubic yards, of liquefied coal slurry cascaded down the hill. A sound like thunder preceded a massive black avalanche 6 meters, or 20 feet high, breaking walls and crashing through windows, engulfing the young students. That day, 116 children and 28 adults lost their lives. Despite the heroic efforts of the local community and rescue services, very few in the rear classrooms survived. This disaster, the worst involving children in modern British history, nearly wiped out a community's entire generation in seconds. The survivors, bereaved parents, siblings, and other members of the local community, have remained deeply affected by this catastrophe for the past 58 years. What comfort and hope can we find in God's Word for those who lost their lives, and for those who survived, plagued by memories as vivid as if the avalanche were yesterday? The tragedy of that day. Aberfan, like many other South Wales Valley communities, existed because of the local coal mine, which employed many men both underground and above ground. Miners were familiar with the dangers of their work, including tunnel collapse, poisonous gas, and the buildup of coal dust in their lungs. The risks to their families at home were considered minimal by comparison. The coal mining process produces vast quantities of waste material called tailings, which need to be discarded. Merthyr Vale Colliery had 7 tips, the latest of which was 34 meters or 111 feet high and positioned atop a natural spring. Heavy rain in the preceding 3 weeks turned the underlying waste into slurry, and at 7:30 a.m. that day, a small subsidence, or a sunken area, greeted the morning shift. Students at Pantglass Junior School, downhill from the tip, had begun their last day of classes before the half-term holiday. When the coal waste began moving down the hill toward them, it built up to a speed that left no time for warning. Survivors described the slurry rapidly overwhelming classrooms, trapping bodies like thick cement and crushing them under the pressure of debris. When the noise stopped, everything went black and silent. Clinical data later showed that most victims died from suffocation. Those still alive realized that they were trapped next to teachers, friends, and classmates who had perished. Unable to free themselves, they awaited rescue. The community quickly understood the disaster's scale and began working with their bare hands to free survivors. Emergency services and miners arrived, knowing their own children were still missing. Compounding matters, the landslide had ruptured the local water main, adding more water to the sludge. Few tools were available initially, and debris was transported by hand down lines of people. Occasionally, a whistle would blow, and hundreds of rescuers would fall silent, listening for any survivors' cries. Even the strongest would break down in tears at the horrendous circumstances. No more survivors were found after 11 a.m., and it took a week to recover every victim. Bodies were moved for identification to a nearby chapel, used as a mortuary. The spirit of cooperation was extraordinary, and people from outside Aberfan came to help after the news broke on national TV. An estimated 10,000 people attended the collective funeral of 81 children and a mother buried with her two sons on either side of her at Aberfan Cemetery on the 27th of October, where the dead were buried in two long trench graves. Today, a memorial garden stands at the location of Pantglass Junior School. For many of the surviving students, that was the day their childhood ended. Some have never spoken in detail about their experience, while others have found solace in sharing their memories and grief. Many suffered from night terrors, fear of the dark, PTSD, and survivor's guilt. Parents who had lost children couldn't bear to see surviving children playing in the streets. The grief was so great that they avoided discussing their lost children even with others who had experienced the same loss. A 5-month tribunal into the disaster's cause began on 2 November 1966, determining that the National Coal Board was entirely responsible. Fear of mine closure and significant job losses had perhaps made the community hesitant to address potential dangers. King Charles III, then Prince of Wales, spoke in Aberfan on the disaster's 50th anniversary, referring to the community's, quote, darkest sorrow, but also the most shining selflessness, end quote, and the survivors' courage and determination. When considering the tragic loss of young life, their unfulfilled potential, and the desperate grief of the affected families, we must ask, are they without hope? Hope for the future. God has a plan and purpose for everyone. Scripture tells us that He wants to give us a future and a hope. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Some may think those children in Aberfan have no future, no hope, that their brief existence with all their unfulfilled dreams came to an end that day. However, Scripture is clear that those who have died are merely asleep, awaiting a return to life. Study 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 15. Our hope should echo that of the Apostle Paul, that there will be a resurrection of the dead. Acts 24, verse 15. Revelation 20, verse 5 tells us that after the first 1,000 years of Christ's reign upon the earth, the rest of the dead will be resurrected. And Ezekiel 37 explains that this will be a resurrection to physical life, not to immortality like the first resurrection of God's people at the end of this age. This resurrection will include the vast majority of people who have ever lived, as they never had an opportunity to truly know God. Read Matthew 11, verses 21 through 24, and John 6, verse 44 and verse 65. The precious young lives of Aberfan will have their opportunity to understand the Bible, and God says that they will then be judged in His mercy according to their works by the things which were written in the books, Revelation 20, verse 12. Considering the billions who die senseless deaths, it is comforting and inspiring to realize that their tragic ends are not final. Almighty God, in His love and care for humanity, has tremendous plans for the children of Aberfan, all made in His image. Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27. He has not forgotten them. They will live and experience abundant joy in obedience to God, and they will see their friends and classmates again. They will come to see the supreme purpose God has for all humanity and have their opportunity to genuinely accept the truth of God. This is the wonderful future hope for Aberfan's families and children. For more on this topic, you can request printed copies of Is This the Only Day of Salvation? And What Happens When You Die? Or visit tomorrowsworld.org to read them online. All of our literature can also be provided as an audio recording upon your special request.